So imagine a master bank robber. But this robber doesn't need to sleep, works entirely for free, and has the physical ability to instantly jiggle the handle of like every single locked door on planet Earth.
Right. And at the exact same millisecond, too.
Yes, exactly. In the exact same millisecond. Now imagine that robber isn't a person at all, but just a string of code that literally just woke up this morning.
It's a terrifying thought.
Yeah, it really is. So welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at a massive stack of tech journalism, specifically pulling from the Tech and Morning newsletter. And the date on this is today, Wednesday, May 13th, 2026.
Which is already shaping up to be a historic day.
Oh, absolutely. And our mission for you today is pretty ambitious. We're going to track this monumental turning point in technology by unpacking six explosive headlines. And they all dropped on this exact same morning.
Yeah, the timing is, well, it's not a coincidence, I think.
No. Definitely not. We are looking at the precise moment that artificial intelligence transitioned from being, a passive tool that we just use to an autonomous agent acting completely independently.
And I think it's the synchronization of these events that really tells the real story here. I mean, any single one of the developments we're going to explore today could have easily defined like an entire year of technology
Oh,
news.
for sure. Headlines of the year, any of them.
Exactly. But seeing them hit the wire simultaneously, it signals that the speed of technological evolution has officially, and I mean officially, surpassed human reaction time. We are essentially moving out of the driver's seat and just watching the vehicle navigate itself.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because we need to start with the most invisible, but I would argue the most urgent shift of them all. That bank robber scenario we just talked about.
Right, the cybersecurity piece.
Yeah. We're talking about AI acting completely autonomously in the shadows of our global networks. So the newsletter reports that Google's Threat Intelligence Group just discovered the first ever zero-day vulnerability that was autonomously discovered, developed, and weaponized by an AI out in the wild.
And, to really understand the gravity of that, we have to look at what a zero day actually is.
Right, because not everyone is a security researcher.
Exactly. So it's basically a flaw in software that the original developers have 0 days of awareness about, hence the name.
Makes sense?
Yeah. They don't know it exists, which means there's no patch and absolutely no defense against it. And historically, finding just one zero day, it required a highly specialized team of human security researchers.
Right, sitting in a dark room for months.
Literally, they would spend weeks, sometimes months, of grueling manual labor just combing through lines of source code to find a tiny logical error. And then they'd spend even more weeks building a proof of concept to test if it could actually be exploited.
But this Google report, it basically shows that traditional manual workflow is completely obsolete now.
Yeah, it's done.
Because an AI attacker doesn't need to take breaks. It operates at machine speed, meaning it can scan an almost infinite number of software packages simultaneously.
Right. It's not one person looking at one lock.
Exactly. And the report mentions it's hunting for complex structural flaws, things like buffer overflows or use after free bugs. And for anyone listening who isn't a software engineer, a buffer overflow is essentially tricking a program into taking in more data than it actually has memory space for.
Which is a classic exploit.
Right. It's like pouring a gallon of water into a pint glass. The data spills over and corrupts adjacent parts of the system, giving the attacker control. And a use after free bug, that's like keeping the keys to an apartment after your lease is up, waiting for the space to be cleared out, and then moving your own stolen goods into the empty room before the landlord even notices.
That is a great analogy. And what's fascinating here is the absolute paradigm shift this represents. We are witnessing the industrialization of vulnerability discovery.
The industrialization, what?
Yeah, because this AI isn't just a faster lock picker. It is a fully automated, completely invisible factory producing customized lock picks at scale. And the report notes that these threat actors, which they've linked to state-sponsored groups in places like China and North Korea, they're using the AI to generate polymorphic code.
Okay, meaning the malicious code is essentially a shapeshifter.
Precisely. It acts like a digital chameleon. It's constantly rewriting its own signature. So traditional antivirus software, which usually just looks for known patterns or signatures, it just can't recognize it.
Because it doesn't look like the thing it's supposed to block.
Right. And even worse, the AI is orchestrating multi-stage attacks without any human intervention at all.
Wait, really? None.
None. It breaches a server, analyzes the internal network, decides which database to target next, and executes the lateral move entirely on its own. It adapts in real time to whatever defenses it encounters.
So if this invisible army is constantly scanning and attacking every vulnerability it can find, what does this mean for you, the listener, who, you know, just uses a standard password manager or maybe relies on a small business cloud server?
Well, it means the foundational infrastructure housing your data is under a totally new kind of siege. The era where a company could rely on, like, good enough static security, that's over.
It's gone.
Yeah. And in fact, there's a profound irony highlighted in the source text here. As these massive organizations are rushing to integrate their own artificial intelligence systems into their daily operations, the AI software ecosystem itself has become the primary target.
Oh, wow. AI attacking AI.
Exactly. We're entering an era of machine speed warfare, uh-huh. where defensive AI is just forced to constantly battle offensive AI. The text actually quotes the security technologist Bruce Schneier, and he frames this as the cybersecurity equivalent of nuclear proliferation.
Nuclear proliferation. Yeah. That's heavy. But, you know, if AI can autonomously map and exploit the complex vulnerabilities of global networks in the dark, it only makes sense that the biggest tech companies would try to apply that exact same autonomous predictive mapping to our personal lives.
Oh, without a doubt.
And that's exactly what Google is doing. Over at the Android show, they just dropped a massive announcement regarding Android 17. And they're moving the operating system from just a passive grid of apps into a proactive agent. And it's powered by something called Gemini Intelligence.
And this completely redefines the relationship between the user and the device. Like, they highlighted a feature called context-aware task automation.
Right.
Rather than you opening an app, typing in a request, and clicking through all these menus, yeah. the device anticipates the steps required to complete a complex goal.
And the demonstration they gave is a perfect example of this. So imagine you have a messy, bulleted grocery list sitting in your Notes app. You just long press the power button and tell the AI to build a shopping cart.
You don't even open a browser.
Nope. You don't open a browser. You don't copy and paste. The AI simply reads your screen, understands what the items are, autonomously opens your preferred grocery delivery app in the background, adds the correct quantities to the cart, and fills out your delivery address.
And it's achieving this through a pretty massive structural revolution in how the software operates. Because traditionally, mobile operating systems, they've been built like isolated silos.
Right. Apps don't really talk to each other.
Exactly. The Notes app was entirely separate from the shopping app, and they communicated through very narrow, predefined channels, if at all. What Gemini Intelligence does is introduce a unified semantic layer.
A semantic
layer. Yeah. And this layer sits above all the individual applications. So it doesn't just see the pixels on your screen. It actually comprehends meaning. It constantly analyzes your behavior patterns, your location, the time of day, what you're currently viewing, all of it, just to deduce your actual intent.
And they are giving users the power to harness that semantic layer with something called generative UI. You can just ask the AI to build you a custom dashboard tracking your specific stocks, your local weather, your favorite sports team. It just generates a bespoke interface right on demand.
You don't need to know a single line of code to basically become your own app developer.
Right. But looking at all these features, there is one that genuinely gave me pause. They announced something called Gboard Rambler. And the concept is that you dictate your thoughts naturally, and the AI filters out your pauses, your self-corrections, your us.
Which we do a lot of.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it analyzes the context and your emotional tone to translate your messy speech into a clean, highly professional text message or email.
I mean, on paper, it is an incredible friction reducer for business communication.
Sure. But I have to push back on the philosophy behind it.
Yeah.
What do we actually lose when an AI scrubs our personal communication like that?
That's a fair question.
If all of our messages are perfectly sanitized, polished, stripped of any hesitation, don't we lose our authentic human voice? We are risking a future where my AI is just summarizing a perfectly formatted text generated by your AI, and neither of us is genuinely communicating.
That is a deeply valid concern. When we smooth out the friction of human interaction, we really do risk smoothing out the humanity itself. But, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the sheer aggression of Google's business strategy is what really stands out to me.
Oh, the timing.
Right. They are dropping this massive system-wide AI integration just a month before Apple's highly anticipated iOS 27 reveal at WWDC 2026.
Wow.
Google is deliberately forcing Apple to react. They're attempting to unify the 42% of U.S. Android users into a cohesive, premium ecosystem.
And they are cementing that ecosystem with new hardware, too. They introduced a brand new premium laptop category called Google Books.
Right, which are not Chromebooks.
No, these are completely different from the old budget Chromebooks. These are premium machines built from the ground up by partners like Acer, Asus, and Lenovo. And they have the Gemini AI woven directly into the physical fabric of the laptop.
Yeah, they have that, what is it, the magic pointer?
Yes, the magic pointer. It lets you highlight literally anything on your screen to trigger instant contextual AI actions. And then there's a glow bar that gives you ambient visual feedback on what the AI is processing.
Which sounds super sci-fi.
It does. Plus, a feature called Cast My Apps lets you natively run your phone's Android apps directly on the laptop. So they are firing a direct shot at the MacBook Pro market to capture users who want that seamless phone-to-laptop experience.
So we're seeing AI weaponized in the digital shadows, and we're seeing it deeply integrated into our pockets to organize our daily routines. But this next development breaks the barrier between the digital and the physical entirely.
Oh, yeah. Here's where it gets really interesting. Our third major story takes this autonomous intelligence and drops it into the real world. On February 27th, 2026, BMW officially deployed a humanoid robot named Aeon at its Leipzig factory in Germany.
And Aeon is manufactured by a company called Hexagon Robotics. It is exactly 1.65 meters tall.
Which is pretty specific.
It is, but that specific height isn't arbitrary at all. Hexagon didn't want BMW to have to redesign its entire factory floor to accommodate massive specialized machinery.
Ah, so it fits right in.
Exactly. The robot has to seamlessly fit into environments, walkways, and assembly lines that were originally designed for human bodies. It uses wheels rather than feet for stability, moving up to, I think, 2.5 meters per second. And it's currently working on live battery assembly lines.
And BMW calls this physical AI. Imagine taking the brilliant supercomputing brain of a large language model, something capable of analyzing billions of data points instantly, and finally giving it a set of hands to manipulate the physical environment.
It's wild.
And the performance data they are seeing is just staggering. Before putting Aeon in the Leipzig plant, BMW ran an intense pilot program in Spartanburg, South Carolina, using a different humanoid model called Figure 02.
Right, the Figure 02.
Yeah. The numbers from that pilot are wild. These robots helped produce over 30,000 BMW X3 vehicles.
30,000?
30,000. They independently moved 90,000 parts, took 1.2 million steps over 1,250 operating hours, and achieved an astonishing 99.9% accuracy in part placement.
I mean, that level of superhuman consistency is incredible, but the mechanism behind how they learn, that's the real breakthrough here.
Yeah, how do they do it?
Well, traditional factory robots are bolted to the floor, right? And they require intense manual coding for one highly specific repetitive motion. But Aeon and Figure 02, they learn through imitation.
Wait, they just watch?
Literally. They are placed in a test environment where their optical sensors watch a human worker demonstrate a task. The robot's AI breaks down that visual data, extracting the underlying structural logic of the movements, and then translates it into physical motor torque.
That is insane.
Yeah.
And they aren't just blindly repeating a recorded motion either. They adapt. They use force sensors in their hands to know if a part isn't fitting right.
Right. They feel it.
Yeah. If they get confused or a part is out of place, they don't just shut down an error out. They query their internal AI models to reason through the problem in real time and try a different angle.
It is an absolute engineering marvel. But, you know, we have to impartially examine the fierce socioeconomic battle this deployment has triggered. Because this is fundamentally a labor story.
Absolutely.
BMW argues that physical AI is a massive net positive. They claim it takes over the dull, dirty, and dangerous tasks. They say it virtually eliminates ergonomic injuries from repetitive lifting, which frees up human workers to focus on creative problem solving and higher value oversight.
But the workers who are currently relying on those exact assembly jobs for their livelihoods, they see a very different reality.
Exactly. Europe's largest industrial union, IG Metall, has responded to the Leipzig deployment by organizing strikes in Germany. They view these humanoid robots as an existential threat that will just lead to mass job displacement.
And both sides present deeply compelling arguments.
They do. The entire global manufacturing sector is holding its breath right now. The American automotive industry, you know, companies like Ford, GM, Tesla, they're watching this experiment incredibly closely. MIT economist Darren Acemoglu is actually quoted in the newsletter, emphasizing that the question is no longer if humanoid robots will reshape the workforce, but how society manages the transition.
Right.
He stresses the absolute necessity for proactive policies, aggressive worker retraining programs, and robust social safety nets.
Because it's an arms race now. If the U.S. auto industry sees BMW gaining a massive competitive edge with robots that operate with 99.9% accuracy and never need a shift change, they're going to adopt them.
They have to.
If they don't, they'll be bringing a horse to a drag race. The technology is simply moving too fast to ignore. And that really brings us to the final piece of the puzzle. With AI moving at this breakneck speed, hacking secure networks, predicting our grocery lists, literally building our cars, the human systems of law and business are desperately trying to throw a net over it to maintain some semblance of control.
Yeah, the regulatory landscape is finally crashing headfirst into the technological reality. The European Union has just implemented severe, legally binding updates to the AI Act.
This is huge.
It is. They have formally ordered massive AI companies, specifically singling out OpenAI and Midjourney, to completely remove unlicensed data and artwork belonging to EU citizens from their training databases.
And to be clear, the EU isn't just handing out warnings here. They're demanding granular lists of all training data, enforcing fair compensation for copyrighted works, and guaranteeing citizens the right to be forgotten.
Meaning the ability to permanently delete their data from the AI's memory.
Exactly. And the newsletter estimates this ruling could force these companies to purge up to 40% of their existing databases.
Up to 40%. Wow.
Yeah. And they are hanging the threat of multi-billion euro fines over their heads if they fail to comply.
It is a massive legal reality check. And it's already forcing corporate realignments. The source text actually outlines a major restructuring of the partnership between Microsoft and OpenAI.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Following the highly publicized trial between Elon Musk and Sam Altman and the testimony from Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, the two companies actually renegotiated their terms. So now OpenAI has the independence to run their models on other cloud providers, while Microsoft retains preferential front-of-the-line access to integrate new OpenAI models into their products.
So what does this all mean? Because I have a major economic question about this EU ruling. It is widely estimated that a model like GPT-4 was trained on something like 13 trillion tokens. And for context, a token is essentially a fragment of a word or a piece of code that the AI digests to learn patterns. If these AI companies suddenly have to start tracking down owners and paying licensing fees for every single copyrighted token out of those 13 trillion, does this effectively bankrupt the entire AI revolution?
That's the million-dollar question. Or I guess trillion-dollar question.
Right. Is the era of infinite free training data officially over?
Well, this raises an important question, and it really is the defining tension of this entire regulatory push. You have a profound clash between technological innovation and human rights.
Yeah.
These AI models, they inherently require almost unfathomable oceans of data to achieve the capabilities we've discussed today, like translating a video of a human moving into robot motor function or analyzing network code to find a zero-day vulnerability.
You need all that data.
They do. But legally acquiring and licensing that data at scale might simply be economically impossible. The text quotes Meta's chief AI scientist, Jan LeCun, who observes that Europe is setting a global precedent here by explicitly choosing creators' rights over unchecked technological progress.
Meaning Europe is positioning itself as the global leader in regulation, but risks becoming a follower in actual technological capability.
Exactly. And when you connect the EU's aggressive regulations to the shifting Microsoft and OpenAI deal, a broader pattern emerges. Even the undisputed titans of the tech industry are being forced to compromise, to decentralize, and to adapt to immense legal and social pressures.
Right.
We are looking at a near future where the world might literally divide into completely different AI ecosystems based purely on regional laws. An AI assistant in the United States might possess fundamentally different reasoning capabilities than an AI in Europe, simply because of the specific data it was legally permitted to digest during its training.
That is a wild concept to wrap your head around. Geopolitically fragmented artificial intelligence. We have covered an immense amount of ground today, and the sheer density of what occurred on May 13, 2026 is just breathtaking.
It really is.
Let's briefly trace the path we just walked. In a single morning, we tracked AI's evolution from an invisible cyber threat autonomously hunting for structural code vulnerabilities into a proactive pocket assistant utilizing a semantic layer to just manage your life.
Yeah.
From there, we watched it step out of the digital realm entirely, taking physical form as a humanoid robot to build cars on a German factory floor. And finally, we saw this technology collide with global legal frameworks, forcing major tech giants to restructure their alliances and entire continents to draw hard lines over copyright and human rights.
It is a vivid illustration of ultimate convergence. The digital domain, the physical environment, and the legal structures of our society are all colliding, and they're doing it at machine speed.
And that is exactly why this matters so deeply to you listening right now. The era where you could view technology as just a passive tool waiting for your command is completely in the rearview mirror.
Long gone.
The core message hidden inside this massive stack of news is that adapting to this autonomous speed is no longer optional. Whether you are a government drafting legislation to protect your citizens, a massive corporation building premium hardware, or just an individual trying to keep your personal data secure and your professional skills relevant in a changing market, adapting is now a basic requirement for survival.
I completely agree. And I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, drawing on the long-term implications of everything we explored today.
Let's hear it.
We are looking at a near future where humanoid robots are successfully executing repetitive physical labor. Simultaneously, autonomous AI is handling digital vulnerability scanning, drafting our professional emails, and proactively organizing our daily schedules. If the machines are rapidly absorbing both the physical execution and the digital administration of our world, what entirely new job categories will inevitably emerge that we don't even have the vocabulary for yet?
Wow.
Based on the sheer scale of the shift you learned about today, what do you think your daily routine will look like just 3 years from now?
That is the perfect question to leave hanging in the air. It is a brand new world, and it is arriving much faster than we ever thought possible. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, stay adaptable, and we will see you next time.